I wouldn't notice you using it on me when I have the rose to watch you all.
I don't know anything about it, lied Leela. I just know how scared the gods are of you. I was their last hope, and I failed. There's nothing we can do to stop you destroying Station now. You'll break it as you broke its twin. She nodded towards the window. This time, Diodatus's laugh was almost hearty.
Destroy Station!
He boomed, his voice becoming a loud, harsh rasp. A cloud of flies lifted out of his body, hovering in the air around him, a black, agitated cloud.
Destroy Station! He said again,
recovering himself. Some of them settled back into him, others veered off into the room.
Do you really believe that? Have you understood nothing? Have your gods really forgotten why we built it?
He slumped back against the end of the table, leaning against it, both arms supporting himself.
Or have they just not told you?
His dry face peered up at her.
No. I really think they don't know. We tried so hard to break them when they fled our control. I think, in part, we succeeded.
What are you talking about? Genuine curiosity moved behind fear and disgust. Leela wondered briefly if this was the start of a more subtle seduction. She tried to sound afraid rather than intrigued. What do you mean?
My child.
His voice was almost gentle.
Your gods. They've held you back. You've been unable to fulfill our plan for you. My plan for you.
Now there was pity in it.
Sending you up, away from home, out into the solar system. It wasn't going to end there.
Where else could we go?
Earth-type planets in other solar systems. That would have been the start. And then, who knows? Humanity is infinitely malleable. We can rebuild you for other environments. And of course, I would have come along with you to guide you. To show you the way. A god and his people. Reborn into eternity.
How? He peered closely at her, apparently genuinely curious.
What makes you think I'm going to destroy Station?
The laser in the pyramid. You'll fire it up and use it to break the spine and the wart. Once you've done that, everything else falls apart. Station will be destroyed.
Oh, Leela.
He sounded almost sad.
How can you think that? The laser's not there to destroy. It's there to create.
A pause. Leela told herself that all she wanted to do was create more time for her brother to come. But fascination was growing within her. The past was there in front of her. Revealing secrets that even the Pantheon had forgotten. An absolute passion to know more filled her, combined with an absolute forgiveness of Dieter. She understood him more fully now than ever before. What do you mean? She replied.
The wart was designed to house a single, vast fusion reaction. A black sun at the core of Station. The laser was one of several that would power it, set in each of the pyramids. Its heat would be channeled to the four generator stations you've turned into fusion reactors. Such tiny creations compared to what could have been, and running at their full capacity, they'd have generated enough energy to bring Station's gravity drive fully online and power its journey to the stars.
But station doesn't have a gravity drive. It doesn't have anything like that.
Docklands is an encrustation, my child.
He was almost paternal now. The thought of his love shimmered in Leela's mind, terrifying her.
It should never have been built. Homelands was the habitation unit. The space where Dockland sits houses the gravity generators that will create a vast external gravity well. A well that would touch the whole of station, moving it out of its stationary orbit. And once the well exists, station will never again be stationary. It will fall into it and keep falling and fall all the way to another star.
The scale of it awed her.
That's incredible, she breathed.
You see,
crowed Diodatus, and the triumphant delight in his voice was both a warning and the most human sound she'd heard from him.
Why would I destroy the last interstellar colonization craft that remains to mankind? I've spent 700 years trying to recapture it. I brought my city to the foot of the crash station to strip out its control systems and software, ready to reinstall them in your station. Humanity's destiny is not local. It's interstellar. It's galactic. It's cosmic. And I have mapped it all out for you. I will rise from Earth and lead all of humanity forwards into that great future.
Leela was profoundly shocked. By enslaving us all, by rewriting our memories, by overlaying squalor with the shining city.
By creating hierarchy, imposing efficiency, making best use of scarce resources, offering rewards that don't compromise austerity.
You'd force us all to serve you, and you'd abuse us terribly.
The future of humanity is at stake. Hard decisions have to be taken. Sacrifices have to be made.
Is that what you call corrupting minds and waking an army of sleepers?
Oh, them.
He waved a dismissive hand.
They ran out of motivation. They worked for me for centuries, and then slowly they started to fade, became idle. That's why I needed your brother. Holt did well to recommend him. Dieter's given the Workshy back their drive. Help them become productive again.
How can they be productive? All they want to do is fuck and collect things. That angered Diodatus.
That's all they really need. Acquire possessions.
Each.
Use each other for pleasure. And a simple, beautiful city to live in. To make them think they inhabit a simple, beautiful world. Once they're up on station, once they've spread my swarm within it, they'll be able to stay in it forever. And I'll have fresh minds to work for me. 100,000 people waiting for that same simplicity. They'll work for me. Sustain me. Adore me, especially once I've returned the true past to them. The one in which the Pantheon is seen as the aberration they are.
Oh no, breathed Leela. The Taste Refresh Festival.
It does make rewriting everyone to forget the gods and remember only me much easier. The Pantheon have learned much from their parents, even if they don't always quite realize it.
Leela couldn't quite believe it. But how will you get into orbit? And even if you could, You'll destroy everything, just like you've destroyed this world.
Oh, no.
A buzzing chuckle.
We can fly.
Leela wondered if he was insane.
And once we do, I'll do what I always do. I'll make the best use of scarce resources.
He stretched an arm out towards the window.
That's not destruction. It's completion. This world isn't a wasteland. It's a resolution. An ending.
He turned back to her.
Do you mourn a placenta? Or a seed pod? Of course not. Every ending creates a new beginning. And so, I will rise up and take station, and then the solar system, and then populate all the empty stars with my children. And as the millennia pass, we will do to the galaxy what we have done to our birthplace. Take everything that's there. Make best use of it. And then move on to fresh pastures. Oh, what beauty!
But you'll never even reach station. How can you?
My child.
His voice was gentle.
Every building out there has an anti-gravity generator. Kingdom showed me how to bolt them together. To power them with fusion reactors. To create structures that would reach orbit. When he died, I despaired. But then the totality came and brought hope with them. They are so malleable, so close to the slaves they once were. And now, with their help, and with the Rose's help, my city will rise and take station!
And as she listened to that soft, buzzing voice rave, Leela realized that if the memory virus had been in her mind at that moment, she would have dropped it then. But she'd destroyed it, to remove any such temptation. Instead, she reached out to the less ferocious but also less damaging defenses that love had built for her, and called the Skullface into being. She couldn't wait for Dieter anymore. She couldn't let Diodatus continue. Couldn't take the risk that he'd somehow break her without her even realizing it was happening. That she might somehow come to help station fall forever through eternity, consuming all it met. Exponential locust growth exploding out of it in every star system it passed through. I'll find you, she promised Dieter. And then she unleashed herself on Diodatus. The Skullface sent a series of sense calls out to the systems powering Diodatus's eyes and ears and sense of touch, taste and smell, and registered the parameters they worked within. As the caretaker had promised, it found a depth and breadth to them that it had never encountered before, making even the shark she'd so nearly attacked seem like a minnow. Diodatus's senses weren't restricted to the local. They stretched out across his city and then reached far beyond it. He saw and heard and felt events taking place hundreds, even thousands of kilometers away. The sensory nodes that received those inputs were more complex and sophisticated than anything the Skullface had ever encountered before. And so they contained far greater possibilities for chaos. Exulting, the weapon leapt to construct the most caustic and invasive sensory assault package it had ever created. An instant masterpiece of disruption. And then, pure and white, and unadorned, a relic of dominance remade as a weapon to break it, the Skullface appeared before Diodatus and howled at him. It calibrated the strength of its response according to Leela's fear and anger, and at that bleak moment, both were absolute. Hijacked by the Skullface, every single one of Diodatus's senses became a weapon turned against him. He heard pansonic assault pulses. Poison trigger tastes and scents exploded in his sensorium. Pain of every imaginable kind wrote itself across his skin. His vision filled with jagged, stuttering images, precisely calibrated to induce seizures in his mind. And as he was so closely tied to his city, he felt the pain not just as an assault on his body, but as devastation written across square kilometers of urban space. He felt the blocks that he'd brought together at the base of the broken station break and fall to the ground. He felt the fusion reactors that powered them run into critical and explode, hurling a sun's heat out into the world. He felt all the flies, all the humans, all the fallen minds he was linked to break beneath falling masonry, then, an instant later, burn to a cinder. He felt the streets that surrounded his tower melt away as the fires leapt out and took them. And then he felt the tower itself break and fall, melting into an inferno of pain. The world became a hell of flame, woken to purge all he'd ever been from existence. Leela felt none of this, but she knew it was happening. She watched as his defenses rushed to understand the attack, then flailed and were dismissed. The skull face cutting through their tiny provisional barricades like a knife through damp paper. Then the damage reports began. Snatches of text recording agony in dry technical terms. Leela didn't need to read them, because she could see Diodatus's body shake and howl. She saw it stagger backwards, arms flailing, a shattered buzzing breaking out of its chest. She saw hands tearing skin. One of them caught its mouth, pulling off fabric and jewels. The jawbone came away with the strap that held it tight, trailing dry ligaments. The tongue, a dry old thing, tumbled out with it. But still the chest roared on. The other hand tore at the ribcage, peeling off jewels and fabric. Then skin that cracked into dust, like dry parchment. The first hand had an ear off, then scrabbled at the eyes, trying to protect the mind from the brilliant sound and light assaulting it. Then it reached round to the side of the face, grasped a flap of skin, as if it were the edge of a mask, and pulled. A moment of frenzied effort and the jawless skull was white. The corpse backed into the sarcophagus and sat down heavily. It ripped at the rest of itself, peeling wealth away to show skin that came off too. That did nothing to quell the scouring pain of virtual fire. The throat collapsed beneath breaking fingers. The chest's roar lost definition, becoming a chaos of white noise buzzing. One hand tore the other to pieces, then beat itself against the sarcophagus lid. Then the first of the flies went. A pale red burst of fire exploded out of its networked components, like the striking of a match. Then another went, and another, as the skull face reached deep into the swarm, the final refuge of Diodatus's consciousness. The god's chest cavity became a constellation of tiny supernovae. Small flames licked up, catching dried flesh and clothing. The head toppled from the neck. The body shook a little less now, but still Leela's skull face howled on, understanding correctly that she was facing a mortal threat, and so meeting it with its equal. Even when its target toppled over backwards, it didn't stop screaming on at the broken, smouldering wreck, until Leela had to reach into it and tell it to cease. At her call, it fell back into her, and she was left astonished before the dry wreckage that had once been Diodatus. She wondered how old he'd been, whether the body was the one he'd occupied for all his life, or just the latest in a long line of replacements. The remains slipped from the sarcophagus. There was a soft, dry rattling as the heaped dead flies on the floor took it into themselves like a sea. And then she was alone. A combined sense of relief and awe pulsed through her. She had succeeded. The god was dead, and she had killed him. It was impossible to imagine. And yet, there it was, and there she was. She hung in the air, suspended, taking in the moment. She remembered the entities around the room. They too were broken. They had all fallen in on themselves, wisps of smoke rising up within their cases. She was alone, in a tomb, surrounded by the bodies of those who had not lived for 1,000 years or more, but who had only been graced with death. She wanted to sob with relief. She gave way and, for a little while, was at peace. It was only as she recovered herself that she began to feel disquiet. She was the only living creature within the room. She had no way of moving. She queried the room's weave systems. She could look anywhere within it, but she didn't have the access codes to move beyond it. She tried to step down onto the ground, and then to jump to another location within the room, but Diodatus's trap command remained in force. She could turn, look around, gesture, but she could not move. She experimented with a male, wondering if it would find some way through and out of the room, but it just bounced back. There was no way for her to escape the room, and no way for a message to get out of it. Leela wondered if anyone could get in. She assumed not. The god's death must have triggered alerts elsewhere, but no fallen minds had come looking to see what had broken their ally. No sweatheads had come searching for their master. Diodatus must have locked the room from within, so securely that nobody else could access it. Leela imagined his subjects battering away outside, trying desperately to enter. The room was silent. It must be tremendously well soundproofed. On one level, she was very glad to be alone. She would have no way of fleeing any attackers, and they would, she suspected, make her life very painful indeed. She redoubled her attempts to find a way to escape the room, even just move within it. Then light and sound exploded around her. She spun up the skull face, in case Diodatus's servants had at last managed to penetrate the room. If that had happened, she would go down fighting. Perhaps she'd be able to cut through them and escape. But she was still alone. The brilliance blazed in from outside. Every single building was lit by bright white spotlights. There was a high-pitched roaring, too regular and artificial to be a storm. Leela had her systems analyze it. It was the sound of scores of fusion-powered gravity generators, massively overstretched, starting into being all at once. Oh no, she breathed. Diodatus had taken individuals and turned them into components in a machine. Even without him, it seemed that the machine still functioned. One of the tower rings lifted into the air. Then another rose, and another, impossibly and unstoppably. A deep rumble shook the room, and Diodatus's fortress climbed with them. The fusion generators knotted into the building rings were massively overdriving their anti-gravity generators, pushing the city into the sky. I don't believe it, she said to herself. Perhaps by killing Diodatus, all she'd done was clear space for a more efficient manager. The Rose, Holt, or some anonymous fallen mind to take over the invasion. Or perhaps she'd created a zombie apocalypse. A mindless wave of destruction that would rewrite stations past before collapsing into purposelessness when its programming ran out. But there was nothing to be done. She could only watch powerlessly as the dead god's city lifted itself up from the earth, a seed thrown out from an exhausted host, ready to infect first station, then perhaps the solar system, and even worlds beyond it, with the all-consuming greed it still contained. Frustration filled her. Clouds flashed past. Then there was nothing. The blue, empty sky was polluted with buildings. It darkened. They faced the sun. Diodatus's city was a black scrawl across its white brilliance, a system of control imposing itself on the sky. There was only one small, sad point of hope. She hadn't seen the fallen snowflake rise up. Cassiel's sacrifice might have succeeded. The totality could perhaps resist Diodatus, saving themselves, if not station. Then a shadow shimmered into being before her, becoming a man who was never quite himself. At last, Dieter had come to find her. Chapter 43. Dieter hung before Leela, floating in front of the window. The brilliant sun made the dead god's city a series of silhouettes. Tower blocks bound together in rings, dark seeds waiting to fall into station. They hung in the darkness like a wave, frozen in the moment before it hits the shore.
"You're here," gasped Leela. "Thank the gods. We've got to get out."
"At first it was impossible to get in," he sounded puzzled. "I spent hours trying to get through. Then all of Diodatus's personal defenses went down. It's like he's not here at all."
Leela considered telling him that Diodatus was dead, but she wasn't quite sure how he'd react. She nodded towards the window. "Well, I'm sure he's got other things on his mind."
"Yeah, I guess so."
With the sun behind him, it was difficult to make out his expression. Leela was grateful that she couldn't really see him blurring through multiple versions of himself. Then he spoke again.
"Leela," he said.
There was pain and indecision in his voice.
"It's the Taste Refresh Festival just now, isn't it?"
"Oh, yes. That's why we have to stop Diodatus."
"Do you remember it?"
"I do.
The ocean in every street.
The twins in the sky, fishing for the best catch." He looked up at her. "From when I was young. From before Mum dying. Before she was on the drink, even."
Dieter lifted his hand to his face and rubbed his forehead.
"If that's the way that history gets corrected, well, it seems so right, doesn't it?"
Leela forced her emotions back under her control, forced herself to pause and let calm sink into her.
"It's not right to rewrite people," she told him. She reminded herself that she was dealing with a broken fetch, an individual with a fractured past and an uncertain sense of the present.
"You've got to release me. We've got to get out of here. Find a way of stopping all this."
"I don't know if I should, Leela. I really don't know." He sighed. "Perhaps this was a mistake. Maybe I shouldn't have come."
"No," she almost shouted. Then again she forced herself to be gentle.
"No."
She needed him to stay, to keep talking, to give himself time to come round to her.
"Stay with me, Dieter. You were asking about the festival.
It's happening right now. You've missed most of it."
He sighed again.
"You know, it was one of the only things I enjoyed after you died. The rest, I was just existing, not really living. All on my own. But when I could step out and feel like I was underwater, in another world, then, for a moment, I forgot this one."
"You've forgotten a lot," Leela told him.
"So you say."
"Do you remember me being there at all?" asked Leela. "Over the last few years?"
There was a pause.
"No, not at all." Leela thought back to the pyramid, to the way her false memories of exploring it hadn't quite matched reality.
"Is there anything missing? Anything that doesn't quite hang together?"
"There are moments. Ghost moments. When there should have been someone else around."
He sighed.
"Laughter in another room. Fixing the weave rig after someone broke it. Miwa in the flat. She's one of your friends, isn't she?"
"Yes. She was there because I was." Memory surged in Leela's mind. For a moment she forgot the frozen panorama outside.
"And the weave rig."
It had happened just after her rebirth. "You never got round to recalibrating it for fetch viewing. And there was a new Linval Keeler drama coming out." She smiled at the memory.
"It was your own fault. You should have sorted it out straight away."
"It took hours to fix.
Someone scrambled all the sensory settings. Turned them all to maximum and fried the whole thing."
He shook his head.
"When I asked myself who did it, I don't know. I never really brought anyone home, especially not back then. I wouldn't have imagined you."
She smiled.
"It was.
I'm sorry. Was that in the memories you tried to give me? She nodded. Then he said nothing.
Dieter, why are you here?
If you come to get me out of here, we need to get a move on. We've got to find a way of stopping that lot.
He turned to the window.
It's pretty cool, isn't it? A lot of work to get all those sleepers going, waking the past, and Diodatus has his digital attack queued up too.
We have to stop him.
But I want them to hit station, Leela.
He sounded like he was trying to convince himself as much as her.
I want to break the gods and fuck up all the people that fucked you up. I want people to forget they even existed. I want everything there to change.
He was so close to returning to her. Tact deserted her.
Then why are you here? She shouted. How many times do I have to tell you? Nobody screwed me up. I didn't kill myself. I'm really me. I'm not some weapon that East and the Fetch Counselor threw together from a few scraps of memory. And you must think I really am me, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But you're just standing there, telling me how wonderful it is that you've unleashed an undead horde on station. She took a breath. Sort it out, Dieter.
Well, you certainly sound like Leela.
There was something approaching a smile in his voice.
I haven't been yelled at like that for a while.
She controlled herself again, forcing down her anger. She remembered another time she'd yelled at him.
Yeah, the last time was the tuna salad sandwich incident. Do you remember that?
No.
Lucky for you. I'm almost as pissed off with you as I was then, letting it drop down behind the sofa and then going away for the weekend. The smell of it.
Yeah, I can see how that would piss you off. Another moment of silence.
And Diodatus deleted that?
She nodded.
Maybe I should thank him, he said ruefully.
He pulled the pendant out of his pocket.
I've been looking at this, the recent bits. They're so different from the shape of me now. This is the real me.
It's the shape of your memories from before you died, before Diodatus took you and edited you. You haven't been yourself. You've been working for the bad guys.
I so want you to be you, Leela. I so want you to be alive. I've missed you so much.
He held up the pendant.
But how can I know you're really you?
Leela relaxed a little.
You've just got to ask yourself who you really trust.
Me?
Or Holt and Diodatus? Your sister? Or a slimy little perv and his boss, the blinged up corpse?
But what if the gods made you too?
What if you're just another manipulation?
Damn it, Dieter! You're the only one being manipulated! She remembered her conversations with Holt and Diodatus.
You're just a tool to them.
Look, I've got some memories here.
He put his hands up.
Oh no, not again.
I'm not trying to kill you, Dieter. A moment as she wondered whether she could risk a little dig at him.
Though I would actually quite like to just now.
A flicker of a smile.
Yeah, well, thanks, that's really helping.
I'm sorry. Look, you know what I mean. And here you are. A tiny blue ball popped into being between them. Pure memories. Scan them. You can see there's no threat. Me talking to Holt. Me talking to Diodatus. And both of them going on about how they've been using you.
A moment's pause.
I'm not going to force them on you, Leela told him. But you really should watch them.
Dieter reached out cautiously and took the globe in his hand.
These are just memories. From the last few hours.
His hand closed round it.
Seems safe, he said.
He took the globe and popped it into his mouth. A second, as the memories meshed with his. Then he looked profoundly shocked and said,
Motherfucker!
You see? This is what I've been trying to tell you the whole time. Those bastards are using you.
Gods! I think you're actually telling the truth.
There's no think about it. Bloody hell, Dieter. I may just be your little sister, but I am actually right sometimes, and this is one of those times.
We should talk to Diodatus.
He looked around.
Where is he?
Yeah. I kind of killed him. It slipped out without her really thinking about it.
You did what?
Fried him.
How?
Dieter was staggered.
He's over 1,000 years old, and he's a god.
With the skull face.
Ah.
A look of concentration.
Actually, I can see how that would work.
Cool. Then a little more seriously.
He was a piece of history, Leela. You could have just knocked him out.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what you get if you come between me and my big brother. Dieter was on her before she even saw him move, wrapping himself around her in the strongest hug she'd ever had from him.
I'm so glad you're you, Leela,
he said into her neck, his voice slightly muffled.
I've missed you so much. I'm so glad you're back.
A moment of surprise. Then she was hugging him back fiercely. Time dissolved. She held him in the present, remembered him in the past, and was so confident that they'd move into the future together. She'd lost Cassiel, and she ached for her. But she'd found Dieter again. For an instant, that was all that mattered. A minute or so, and they were standing apart again. He handed her the pendant.
You better have this back, he told her.
Thank you. She dropped it over her head, enjoying the return of its reassuring weight.
So, what now? Dieter said.
You're asking me? Replied Leela, surprised. You'd normally just tell me what to do. He smiled ruefully.
Yeah, then you'd tell me why I was wrong and come up with something better. I figured I'd just cut to the chase. After all, you have just killed a god and rescued me.
She smiled. Well, the first thing to do is get back to station. We'll tell East and Lee where we're at. Joy and relief mingled with deep aching loss. And we need to confirm that Cassiel has stopped the fallen mines.
Who are Lee and Cassiel?
Lee's a copy of me. Dit created her. A pressure man rewrote her memory, so she thinks you abandoned her when she was a kid. She's got all the Diodatus money. She's bought an asteroid and thrown it at the location of his city on Earth.
Dieter looked a bit boggled. I see, he said uncertainly. What about Cassiel?
She was a totality mind, a close friend. She'd want us to stop the asteroid too. Leela couldn't bring herself to say anything else about her. She remembered Cassiel's advice.
Too much perspective, she whispered to herself.
She forced herself to focus on the practical.
Let's go help rescue the future from the past.
Chapter 44. Each wave broke hard against the beach, climbing it, and then withdrawing with a roar. And then another would follow it, and then another. Leela watched a large one roll in, a long, sharp crest of water that even as it grew had started to fall in on itself, spray leaping out of its in-curling peak. It fell as it hit the shore, breaking forwards to become white spume rolling up across the sand. It spent the last seconds of its life pushing hard to enter another world, but failing, and then at last disappeared back into the ocean. There was a peal of thunder from above. The sky flickered with electric life. Lightning crawled across the underside of dense, dark clouds. It flickered within them, too, possessing them with light. Diodatus was dead, and so his invasion was stillborn. But the forces in the pyramid were untouched, and, cornered and hopeless, were engaged in a suicidal, aggressive defense. East had activated her army of gun kiddies against its occupants. Her hackers had already shut them off out of the gravity drives that lay beneath Docklands, preserving it from instant destruction. Now, foot soldiers were moving into the pyramids and the complex beneath. The sky reflected the digital side of the battle. The twins had deactivated the Taste Refresh festival, and the Rose was out of action. Grey had locked up her senior management systems with an aggressive takeover bid, forcing them to focus exclusively on elaborate defense maneuvers. Then East hit every single insect member with a media blast describing the situation. The uncorrupted majority moved instantly against their colleagues. Most were quickly captured. Some resisted fiercely. Holt was dead, although in the confusion it was unclear whether he'd been killed or taken his own life. The Fetch Counselor had taken steps to isolate his weave self deep in the memory seas. The Gun Kiddies were helping manage the insect situation too, supporting the Rose's uncorrupted agents in combat. They were also running patrols through Docklands and Homelands, maintaining the rule of law while Insec purged itself. Totality mines were in action everywhere. Cassiel had been largely successful. The infection had been isolated and contained, ensuring both the security and efficacy of her people. Snowflakes surrounded Diodatus's spaceborne city. They were also preparing to intercept and destroy the rock that Lee and East had thrown at its earthly location. As much as possible would be preserved. The solar system's history was not just safe. It was going to be very substantially augmented.
"The attack city and the fallen station are memories too," declared a senior Totality diplomat. "We will safeguard them."
None of that was Leela's problem anymore. Once she was sure that she and Dita had done all that they could to guarantee victory, they left the battle behind and came down to the coffin drives and the shores of the memory seas. A great emptiness lay on the city of the dead. Most fetches were up in station, helping where they could, thrilled by the new respect they found there. East had made it very clear that a fetch had been instrumental in saving station from Diodatus. Leela and Dita travelled to the shores of the memory seas, where they settled down in a small wooden beach hut, one of the Fetch Counselor's refuges. When Dit arrived, Leela left the two different aspects of her brother to talk. Wondering how they were getting on, she looked back up the beach towards the hut. They hadn't emerged yet. The soft crunch of feet walking through sand alerted Leela to someone else approaching her. She turned, expecting to see a stranger possessed by familiar night black eyes, but it wasn't the Fetch Counselor. Instead, her own face looked back at her.
"Hello, Lee," she said. "I didn't expect to see you here."
"I've done my bit up top," Lee told her. "Released funds to the Gun Kiddies. Bought out some of the Rose's subsidiaries on behalf of Grey. Now they're under him, he can drop his own management systems onto them. Start rebuilding her." She was trying to sound confident, but Leela sensed sadness too. "Recorded an interview with East explaining the situation to everyone, and then I realized there was nothing more for me to do. So I thought I'd come down here, see how our boys are doing. Is she letting people know about the other station on Earth? About what our station really is?" "Not yet. She thinks it'd be a bit much for people to take in, on top of everything else." She paused. "I'm certainly finding it hard to get to grips with." Leela smiled. "You won't hear me say this very often, but East might actually have a point there. And how's the battle going?" "We can't lose, thanks to you, Dita, and Cassiel." Leela hadn't expected to hear Cassiel's name. Hadn't been ready for the sadness it would release in her. The mind now only existed in memory. Loss pulsed in Leela. "I am sorry," said Lee. After a moment, she put a hand out and touched Leela's arm. There was something very awkward about the gesture. It struck Leela that Lee must have very little experience of closeness. There was very little in her past to show her how it worked. "Thank you," said Leela. "That means a lot." "So, have they decided?" asked Lee. Leela let her change the subject, skating back into a subject she was more comfortable with. "Are they both sticking around, or will there just be one of them to deal with?" "They've agreed. They're going to go into the sea together, and then, well, someone a lot more like the real Dita will come out." "Your real Dita, not mine," Lee shot back angrily. "My past isn't real." Then almost immediately she said, "I'm sorry, that's not fair." "No, you're quite right. He won't be your Dita, or any of our friends," Leela smiled sadly. I hope he'll be the better for it. Look, said Leela, they're coming out. First Dieter, then Dit, stepped out of the small cabin. Dieter's decay had progressed. He was little more than a scribble. Dit looked well-defined next to him. They moved towards the two women. A third figure followed them out, then hung back, a young boy with dark eyes, dressed only in a pair of red bathing trunks.
Well, here we are, said Dieter.
A new version of Leela's pendant hung round his blurred, uncertain neck. He fingered it nervously. Thunder rumbled over his words. He looked up, suddenly worried.
We're winning, Lee told him. And I hate to say it, but it's all thanks to you.
Oh, good, Dieter smiled nervously.
I'm glad, really.
He looked round at Dit, gestured to him to come closer. Dit came to him and took his hand.
I know it's hard to believe, after everything I did.
You weren't yourself, Lee told him. I know how that feels, at least.
The thunder died away. The waves roared on, always changing, always the same.
It is good, Dieter, said Leela.
She stood on tiptoe to kiss him. I'm so glad. Lee didn't move.
Are you ready? Asked Leela.
The council has been explaining it to us, Dieter told her. We just walk in together and let the water rise above our heads. And let the currents take us. And the sea and our fetch code will do the rest.
It sounds so easy, chipped in Dit. I'm so pleased I can help with it. And Leela, it's good to see you. Dieter tells me I helped you too. I'm very glad about that.
His words shone with confident love, a strong contrast with Dieter's more nervous tone.
You did. Thank you, said Leela.
And now there are two of you too, continued Dit.
Remarkable. Are you going to come into the sea with us?
No, said Leela and Lee together, both equally firmly.
Suit yourselves.
He reached out and hugged Leela. Lee stepped back. Dit noticed, shrugged, then turned back to Dieter.
Come on, let's go,
he said cheerfully, putting an arm round his double's unfocused shoulders.
Bet the water's lovely this time of year.
He put a little pressure on him. Dieter turned with him, and together they started off towards the surf.
We'll see you in a bit, Dit said cheerily over his shoulder. Be a bit harder to tell us apart.
Goodbye, called Leela. Lee said nothing. Leela glanced at her. A bolt of emotion flickered across her copy's face and then was gone. She looked towards the sea and saw that Dit and Dieter had stopped by the shoreline. They were facing each other. Dieter had his hands up on Dit's shoulders. Leela imagined him asking one last time if he was sure about going through with it.
Should I go to them? Asked Leela.
No, said the fetch counselor as he appeared next to her. I think they'll sort it out. A moment's wait proved him right. Dit took Dieter's hand, hugged him, and turned towards the sea. They walked slowly in, each wave crashing a little higher against them as the shore dropped away and became sea floor. As they went deeper, the waves lifted them up, making them bobbing heads on the grey-green surge. They kept going, the water deepening with them. Dit stopped, waited for a trough, then dived forward into the next wave, his straight body all determination. He didn't surface again. Dieter paused for a moment, then turned back and waved, before diving forwards and irrevocably entering the sea. Leela turned to the fetch counselor.
I should be thanking you, I suppose, she said,
for helping us all along the way.
She let anger and sadness into her voice.
I can't bring myself to.
The memory virus, replied the fetch counselor. You still disagree with it?
I always disagreed with it, replied Leela.
You pretended to be so kind, so thoughtful, and behind it all you're using a weapon like that. How can I trust you? How can any of us?
Eyes that were beyond age looked out of an innocent face.
You can trust me to protect you all,
he said, to take hard decisions on the Fetch Communion's behalf.
I want to trust you to do the right thing, she replied, to be better than the Pantheon, to not hide the truth from us.
Your brother made the virus.
I'll be having words with him about that.
Besides, you took the code to him. You asked him to adapt it. He'd never have created it without you. Do you have a right to criticize? You rejected us.
Even if I'd stayed with you, I wouldn't have known about it. Does any Fetch?
Did you give any of us a real choice?
He looked down.
Dieter is a Fetch now, he said. He knows about it. Nobody else does. Not yet, anyway. But you're all safe.
He paused, then corrected himself.
We're all safe.
I don't want to be safe on those terms. I think a lot of us won't. He turned to look out to sea. The waves pounded in. The sea never resting, the shore never changing. I'm a new god of a new people, he told her, his voice so quiet that it was barely audible above the ocean's roar. A very fragile people. I took our weakness and made it a strength. It was all I could do.
Leela remembered what it had been to face Diodatus alone.
I know about fear, but you mustn't let it control you. She thought of Cassiel.
There's always another way. A better way. A kinder way.
Sentimental crap, muttered Lee.
Maybe you're right, Leela, said the counselor.
More silence, hushed by the waves. And then he asked,
Will you come back to us, now all this is done?
Leela remembered East's assessments of the counselor's motives. To be a figurehead for the Fetch Communion. To remind people of how a Fetch saved Station and gave it a new past. She had already refused to have anything to do with East's transmedia celebration of her achievements. No, the counselor sighed.
Nothing like that, Leela. To live on your own terms, wherever, however you'd like.
She looked at him properly for the first time.
Do you really mean that?
He nodded. I don't know where I feel at home now. A pause. I want to be on my own for a bit. I want to see Dieter. Apart from that, I don't know. She thought for a moment. I couldn't live in the coffin drives unless I felt you were being open. With all of us. I don't want to go to the totality. Sadness pulsed through her. I need a little time before I can do that. A thought occurred to her, and she smiled to herself. I might go and stay with the caretaker for a while. He's the only god I've met who really understands freedom. The Fetch counselor stood up. She thought he was just going to turn away and leave. She was surprised when he moved round to stand in front of her. He took her hands in his and looked up at her.
You've accomplished great things, he said. You've rescued us from a broken past. And shown us all our true one. And you've made sure our present and our future belong to us. Thank you.
Then he was walking up the beach behind them, his small footsteps crunching quietly into silence. Then there was just the sea and the shore and the two of them. The waves crashed on. The storm clouds clamoured, unreachably far above. Leela was surprised to find herself crying. Lee reached up with a finger and took a tear from her double's cheek.
Cassiel's dead, said Leela.
And Dieter's dead too.
I brought him back, and he'll be reborn, but he's still dead. He died too soon. On someone else's terms. You really love him, don't you?
Yes, replied Leela. Her voice catching on even that small word.
I can't understand that. Lee's voice was barely audible over the sea and the wind. I just can't. Leela remembered sharing memories with Cassiel.
I can show you our life together, she said. Copy memories across, directly into your mind.
No,
snapped Lee.
No!
Then more gently, that would change me too quickly. She met Leela's eye.
When I'm with you, I feel temporary, fragile.
She spoke quickly, as if it were an effort to admit her feelings.
What do you mean? Asked Leela.
You've done such an amazing job, managing things up here, dealing with East. Lee gave a quick smile.
I'm even going to front that show of hers for you, to tell the story of everything you've done.
But then the sadness returned.
You're the 100% version.
Me? I'm the woman a pressure man made, by stripping something away.
You're whole.
I'm not. Leela shook her head.
You're your own person, Lee. That makes you whole.
She smiled.
If you weren't, we'd be going into the sea together, like Dieter and Dit did.
The memories are there for you, if you want them.
I don't want to learn about him like that.
She looked out to sea.
Him, or Ambrose, when they come out again, when we greet them, I don't want to just have your memories cut and pasted into my head. That would change me too quickly. I want to get to know them in my own way. Build up my own understanding of them, at my own speed. Like we're all going to do with our new history.
She glanced at Leela.
Do you understand?
Leela nodded.
She thought of Diodatus, of how he tried to force new pasts on his victims. And she remembered Dieter, who'd only come back to her when she'd left him to choose to engage with his past.
I think I do, she said.
Shall we start here?
Or we can go back to the cabin if you prefer. The sand's dry enough, and we'll be on the beach for a while. Might as well enjoy it.
Lee squatted, then sat, settling herself down. Leela followed, feeling the soft beach welcome her. Lee was silent as Leela made herself comfortable, looking out to sea again. She held the pendant for a moment, remembering her brother, looking forward to his return. Then she turned to Lee.
So, she said, where should I start?
You've been listening to Waking Hell by Al Robertson, read by Nicola Bryant.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.